Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those of you who are in the LA area, our call-in number is 424-258-9337. And also, for those of you everywhere else, including the slightly drizzly but otherwise still beautiful Bay Area, the toll-free number to call in is 877-697-9725. You can also log into our chat room where producer Kyna will be hanging out and, you know, letting me know if anybody has a question in there, so she'll make sure I find out. And if you would like to call in with a question, you will also reach the ever effervescent producer Kyna, who will be screening those calls and letting me know who you are, where you're from, and what you'd like to know. So today we are talking about, well, shall we say, those things that don't belong to us. And I'm not talking the, you know, thou shalt not steal or wandering through and, you know, stores and taking things. But we are talking about taking what doesn't belong to you. And we're talking about it from an energetic and emotional point of view. There's a TV show called MASH, and it was always one of my favorites. And I remembered a quote from it that one of the characters said, "Minding my own business is a full-time job, and in my spare time, it's my hobby." Most of us are very compassionate beings to some degree. And when we see somebody in distress, well, that's distressing to us. I mean, we don't like seeing somebody hurt or going through something difficult. And the instinct is to step in and either lighten the load or take it on ourselves or somehow make it easier for them to bear. And while, yes, there are times when this is the absolute perfect, most wonderful thing that you could do, there are also times when that's not so much the case. Remember that there's light and shadow in everything, and that includes compassion. Now, the wonderful, happy, light side of compassion is that we can go in and help out and let people know they're not on their own and, you know, shoulder those burdens to help somebody else move a little bit easier through life, especially if they're having a real tough time. Now, there's another side to compassion, and that's sort of what we're going to talk about today. It is that place of, there's a phrase called enabling. And what can happen is when we get so focused on taking someone's burden away, we take away the gift that went with it. Usually it is not through those light, happy, wonderful moments that we have spiritual, emotional growth. It is through those dark and stinky and hard and unpleasant things, those things that really tax us, that take our strength away, that make us doubt, that make us fear. We go through those things, and it's by getting to the other side that we realize we were stronger than we thought we ever could be. That no matter how bad it got, it wasn't bad enough to break us. And if someone comes along and takes away the intensity of that experience, yeah, it feels really good. And you don't get as much out of the lesson as you could have. When we allow people to go through what they need to go through, and that's a hard decision. And I don't put that out there as if it's something easy, because I know it isn't. When do you let someone fall? When do you allow them to go into that rabbit hole and just trust, okay, they've got what it takes to come out the other side. And you can be out there at that other side waiting for them and encouraging, and, you know, it's like, okay, it's over here, you're good, all right, come on. You can be there for them, but when they're in the dark of it, sometimes we all have to be able to walk that road on our own. It is probably one of the hardest things for those of you who are parents to allow your child to risk being hurt or risk being disappointed. Now, I don't mean doing something foolish like, oh, yeah, here's the key to the car. Well, you're 8. You can handle it. You know, go buy something for me. We don't put them at risk intentionally. And there are times when we need to be able to let them stretch, to let them step out on their own without holding them back, because sometimes without intending to, we can teach our children fear. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. You'll get hurt. I remember once my sister and I were sitting in a park, and we were watching my sons. We were in Louisiana. She had come out to visit. And there was a climbing structure. They had one for the little ones, and then they had one that they built it very wisely, because it was kind of built so that you had to have a certain level of coordination and ability in order to just get up on it. So we're sitting there, and I see my son's head for it. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're not going to be able to get up there without help, and if I don't help them, they can't do it. Well, apparently I was wrong. And they were able to get up onto it. And then they began to climb up. And I began to get very nervous, because it was higher than they had been before. And they were small, maybe, oh, goodness, 6 and 7, I think. And so, you know, the older one was helping the younger one, and, you know, they were moving forward. And they got to the top, and they're leaning, waving at me, and their faces are just triumphant. And they're so excited. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Look where we are. And I started to get up to tell them, you know, back away. Don't do that. Get down. And my sister grabbed my hand, and she said, don't you move. Just smile and wave. And I whispered to her. I said, but they could. She said, you know what? Look at their faces. Do you really want to take this away from them? They accomplished something. And my sister, at that time, she was terminally ill. She had cancer, and she had come to visit with me. And hearing her say that, knowing that she herself was not going to see her children grow, that they would have to face becoming adults without her, and she knew it. So she showed great wisdom in utilizing the time that she had left to allow her children and to teach me to allow mine to believe in themselves, to help them realize that they can do it on their own. Think of the scenario of a child trying to climb a tree in a yard, and the child falls down, and they bump their knee, and they're crying, and, you know, one way to deal with it is you run up, oh, my gosh, you poor baby, oh, you hurt yourself. You cannot climb that tree. Don't do it. You know, it'll only hurt you. That's okay. You don't have to climb that bad old tree. Or another scenario is you go, oh, wow, you fell. Oh, you know, it looks like you're okay. Let me check you. Yeah, I think you're all right. You know, if we take something and we put it over here, then maybe you could climb the tree if you just had something to step up on. You think you can do that? Yeah, that's okay. I'll help you. You know, here, why don't we do this? And you can go up and you can be able to reach that branch. And then you can sit on that branch like you want to. Which one of those scenarios will allow that child to believe in themselves, to go, wow, yeah, I took a bump, I took a bruise, but it was okay. It wasn't that bad. And I can still achieve my dream. I can still reach that goal. As opposed to saying, nope, you shouldn't try this, you'll get hurt. Then the child is, it's like, well, I'm going to stay away from that tree. I'm never going to climb that tree. It's our job to get them to climb their trees. It is our job to encourage those around us to be the best that they can be. Think of the story of, you know, the old saying, teach a man to fish and you feed him for a day. Or no, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Yes, it's easier just to give him the fish. It's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You come here every day, I'll give you a fish every single day. No worries. You know, you just come here and you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. On one hand, yeah, it's compassion. But is it empowering? And sometimes that's a really fuzzy line to have to go across, because where does compassion stop and enabling start? Where does it reach a place that we're not really helping the people that we want to help? We're making them more dependent, which leads to a very, very important question. If you want to go out and help somebody, if you want to, you know, come from that compassionate place, really be clear and very honest about why you're doing it. If we're taking things on, in some ways, you know, that's creating a sort of an uneven exchange of energy. There's always a point where you need to be in balance, that you receive as you give. As a chiropractor, there have been times when I wanted to care for a patient and they had nothing that they could give me. And I have treated people for salsa lessons and 24 eggs because there was an exchange of energy. Maybe the person came and cleaned my garbage cans. You know, took out the garbage and tidied my office for a week. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be money exchanged, but there has to be something given when something is received. Because what that does is it makes the person appreciate it, and it also allows them to be empowered that they earned it. If you get something for free, you do not appreciate it as much as when you've had to work for it. So we need to be really honest about what we're creating. What is the paradigm we're creating with that person? And yes, I can say from firsthand, I have gone off the deep end. No, they need my help, and da-da-da-da. And when I look at it, was I being totally unselfish? Was I doing what was best for them, or was I doing what made me feel good? And when we take a look at why we do things, when we take a look at what is our motivation, what is our payoff, sometimes the answer to that can be, well, if I bury myself in what other people need, I never have to deal with doing my own soul-searching, introspection, spiritual work. I can spend all my time having the energy going outward. Because if I stop and allow myself to have that time to go, you know what, there's some stuff I need to clear up. There's some emotional pieces that I need to work that are very, very hard. When I was in school as a chiropractor, I found it interesting because I would, you know, it's like, okay, I need to sit down and I need to study, and I need to study this. You know, I really need to clean the kitchen first. Then I can sit down and study. Then I clean the kitchen. It's like, all right, time to go. I got to go and I got to sit down and study. Well, you know what? If I tidy up the room, then I can study more, you know, easily and all of that. So I would keep finding reasons that I really needed to go and do these other things, but it really was about avoiding sitting down and studying because I was very nervous about the idea. My self-confidence was very low, and it was almost like, well, you know, I'm not going to do well at this anyway, so I may as well do something else. That was my payoff, to go and clean other things and take care of other things instead of doing what I knew I needed to do. So look at that. Look at what it is that you are getting out of it. And that can be really hard because we don't like admitting that we're getting a payoff for doing something nice. No, I'm doing something for them. And, you know, and I'm just doing it because, you know, out of the goodness of my heart. Well, that's wonderful. And that doesn't mean that that doesn't apply. And always take a look at what is it that I am giving this person? Am I giving them something that will temporarily help them out? Or am I giving them something that in the long run is going to be much better for them? And they may get mad at you. It's like, well, why don't you just give it to me? Why don't you just, you know, why don't you just make it easy for me? And when the answer is, because I want you to have the confidence to do what you need to do and know that you can do it. You can handle this. You don't need me. And I don't want you to need me. I want you to be able to say, I did it. And that's a tremendously powerful gift to give. That is, well, it's teaching them how to fish. It's feeding them for a lifetime. It's allowing them to get bruised and, you know, be unhappy. Being unhappy is only an energy. It is a state of being that lasts for a little while. Then you make a shift, because how do you know to seek happiness if you've never been unhappy? If you're walking along and you've got a rock in your shoe that's causing you pain, wow, you've got choices. You can either continue to walk with the rock in your shoe and be in pain. You can wait for somebody else to notice you're uncomfortable and say, wow, you know what, let me check your foot. Oh, my goodness, you've got a rock here. Here, let me take that out. Or you can go, you know what, I don't need that. I can take off my shoe, I can take the rock out, I can walk on, and it's going to feel a lot better. And now I know that if my foot hurts, I probably have the rock in my shoe. And I can control it. I can take care of it. I don't need somebody else to take care of me. Does it feel good to be taken care of? Why, yes, it does. It is really nice when somebody is there to lift a burden or to share a burden. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't. What I'm proposing is that if someone is going to go through something that really ultimately is meant for their highest good, you keep them from going through it, from having that full experience, more than likely it will come back around again. And they'll have to go through it again. And then they'll have a chance to get the gift. It's all about getting the gift at the end of it. And even if that gift is nothing more than, I got knocked down to my knees, but that's as far as I went. And I was able to get back up. Some of the most significant things in my life were making it through things that I did not believe that I could make it through, that I never believed I was strong enough to handle. And the circumstances came that, you know, I had to handle it on my own. And once I did, once I got past the fear of, I'm going to do this wrong, I'm going to screw it up, because that's what usually stops us when we are faced with something. We don't want to do it wrong. We don't want it to go bad. We don't want to look silly. We don't want to whatever it is you don't want to do that you figure is the worst case scenario from that. More than likely, the worst case scenario is, well, you may be really embarrassed. You may have to admit to something that you didn't want anybody else to find out. You may have to deal with the fact that, all right, I maybe don't have the skills right now to do that, but I know how I can get them. Maybe I'm not physically strong enough to do that right now, but I can make myself stronger. And the next time, I'm going to get it. So there's so many gifts that come from the idea of facing that adversity. There are things, you know, I mean, in thinking back in your own life, think of those moments when you were stronger than you thought you could be. And what if somebody had taken that away from you? How would you feel if you, you know, if you'd never found out that you were stronger than that, that you were more capable? And to have somebody stand there and bear witness to it, who even might even say, you know what, I can't help you, but I will be right here beside you the whole time. And whatever you do, no matter what you face, know that I'm right here. And I may not be able to do anything to make it better, but I'll stand beside you while it's going on. And I will hold your hand. And I will hold this space. And you've always got somebody that you can talk to. And you still got to go through it. You still got to be in it. You know, as we move through life, we have tests that we need to take. We've got work that we need to do. You know, you got to do the bills. You got to do the taxes. You got to, you know, find a new job, find a new place to live. Maybe things didn't work out, and you got to step up. You got to say, okay, you know, this is a lousy situation, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know I'm going to do something eventually. And tapping into that strength, and just in that moment to say, you know what, I have survived worse. I've been through worse than this. And that didn't stop me, and this isn't going to stop me either. When you see that look of determination, that moment of realization on someone's face, it's a powerful thing. It's a tremendously powerful thing. And then when they get through it, and they look at you, and they have that look of pride, it's like, you know, I did it. It's like, yeah, you did. I'm so proud of you. I knew you could do it. I knew you could do this. That means a lot. When you believe in someone more than they can believe in themselves. And there are times when we're on both sides of that. There have been times in my life when I could not believe in myself. When I could not accept that I had the power and the ability to change what was happening and to stand up against it. And I was so blessed to have people in my life who wouldn't let me back down. Like, damn it, you can do this. Come on, you can do this. We're all behind you. You know, that's okay. You can face this. It's all right. And they encouraged me to be empowered. They encouraged me to take it on myself, even to the point of saying, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Come on, dust yourself up. Get up. Come on, let's go. You can do this. Find a solution. And at the time, it's very upsetting. You don't want to hear that. And when you do get to the other side of it, and you go, wow, I did it. And they're like, told you. We knew you could do it. Now let's all go and have some fun. And at the same time, knowing when right in the darkest part of it, when I needed a hug, when I just needed to be held so I could cry myself out, then wipe my face off, and then get back to it. Because we all have those times when we need somebody to just be there. And they can be there, but they don't have to enable. We can be there for someone else, and we don't have to enable. When somebody drops something, it's like, excuse me, I think you dropped that. And you give it back to them. You don't keep it. You let them have what belongs to them. And that's what we need to do. We need to let people carry what it is they need to carry because there's a gift there. And we need to make sure that we're coming from a place of allowing them to be empowered. We all have a full-time job of minding our own business. And in our spare time, it is our hobby. So think about all the things that you want to take care of in your life to move forward, to be able to do the things that you want to do. And you know, I have found that the world moves very well without me. I don't have to be in that moment at all times with it. And that's cool. Because I've got stuff to do and so do they. We're all trying to figure it out. And we do our best. And sometimes we mess up. But of all the times that we've messed up, we're still here. So I think it's all going to be okay. We get help when we need it, cry when we need it, and then we dust ourselves off and we move forward. And if we can't figure out a way, we talk to people who can. Either way, don't take on what doesn't belong to you because it's really meant for someone else. And don't give up what belongs to you because that was meant for you. My friends, thank you for joining me for another half hour here at Healing House Radio. If you're interested in learning more about me or about the work I do, or if you'd like to arrange for one-on-one counseling with me, you can find out about me at my website at www.the-healing-house.com. You can also find out about some of the classes I teach at the meetup.com group called the Druids Grove. And you can find out about local classes that I'm doing. And you can also contact me and let me know if you would like me to come out to where you walk, because I just so love to travel. My book, Frequencies, is available through fastpencil.com. It's also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And you can look forward to, which I'm looking forward to, the completion of my new book, Frequencies for the Healer, which will be coming out into publication by the end of spring. So look for that. And like I said, if you'd like to connect with me, www.the-healing-house.com. So, my friends, until next time, go out, enjoy yourselves, take care of one another in a way that helps them move forward, because somebody will take care of you in a way that helps you move forward. We're all in this together, and when we each carry our own burdens and our own loads and move forward, it brings strength to everybody. It allows us all to move forward in a good and balanced way. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio, wishing you all a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. And until then, blessings.